You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here, Right Side Studios, local, state, national, all the issues. We cover them, man. We cover them, and we are solid, conservative, and just plain right. All right, well, listen, I'm going to switch gears for you. I spent some time talking about fielding the force. Had my friend Colonel Jim Hawkins on to talk about that a bit. We also spent some time with the Grand Council just pinging each other on questions that are current in the in the conservative policy arena. What do we think? What do they think? What do we all think? Love that. Number two on the triple dipper is where I'm going now, though. Number two on the triple dipper, I'm just basically calling it, who's on Biden's team? Who's on Biden's team? What are we doing here, Phil? Why are we doing it? Because it's important. Think about this. You got a football team, right? You got the quarterback. Let's pick one. Tom Brady, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever in the history of the NFL. Tom Brady. If you put Tom Brady on a team that has, you know, no ability to block and tackle, you put Tom Brady on a team that doesn't have any decent running backs, no decent receivers. The defensive secondary can't do a thing to get him back on the field. You know, the linebackers don't know their role. Nobody can run a stunt. Nobody can do anything. If Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback ever, he still has to have a good team. And it has to be a robust team. And everybody has to be the right choice for their particular role. I've known some guys that were professional athletes, and it's an amazing, you know, array of skill sets when you see them get up there. But every one of them has their own niche. Every once in a while, you'll find a crossover player, somebody who in college played offense and they moved to defense. Or, you know, you might see that in the line. But you also sometimes you see somebody who was in the secondary is now a receiver or vice versa. But for the most part, they have their niche and they're good at it. And there's a ton that goes into the recruiting and the training and making sure that you have what is necessary to build the right team. All right, enough opining on teams, Phil. We get it. What I'm saying is this. It's no different anywhere else. Whether it be in the corporate boardroom, you know, or on the shop floor, or in the White House, you got to have the right team. And right now, we got a wacky team in the Biden administration. And I don't mean like a little bit. I mean, like, this is a bunch of yahoos. And I look at them every once in a while and I think, well, they got a neat resume. They've done some things, but what have they done with those things? Well, it's like the Biden administration said, how many activists can we pick? What can we do to check the block? Well, see, this is the way liberals work. Liberals work on the notion that if you go with what they call intersectionalities, if you look at demographics only, then you do things like, oh, I don't know, pick a Supreme Court justice, and the very first criteria is not whether or not they are strong in the realm of jurisprudence. You have to look at them based on their skin color and gender. Because it's important to break the class ceiling. It's important that you hit things from a demographic perspective. Well, that can only go so long before you wind up really botching things. And right now, y'all, what we're seeing nationwide, the things that we're having to put up with as the constituents of these people, they are botching things. And not a little bit. Let me tell you what got my attention on this. And by the way, this one I know is not a cabinet-level position, but it's an important position. And I go ahead and just challenge you. When I say their names, if you're sitting in a place where you can even pull them up on your smartphone, then do it. Because, wow. All right, here's the first one. What got me started on this morning when I began looking at, you know, putting together the triple dipper, what topics are we going to do, I came across this story on the National Pulse, dated 2 days ago, July 12th. Exclusive, it says, Biden's Energy Department drag queen gets top secret Q clearance alongside six-figure government salary. Okay. Let me go back to that one and process that with you for a minute, because that particular headline is like got like layers in it. Exclusive to the National Pulse. You ready? Biden's Energy Department drag queen, there's the first segment, gets top secret Q clearance, there's the next segment, alongside a six-figure government salary. Ooh. Okay, here's the deal. Look up this person if you get a chance. Sam Brinton. B-R-I-N-T-O-N. Because I'm pretty sure what you're going to find are pictures of someone who you would never think should get a security clearance of this level. And you also wonder, how in God's name did you get hired? What was the screening process? Let me tell you something. I for years maintained a very high level security clearance. I had a TSSCI clearance, and when you have those level clearances, you have to have like periodic reinvestigations. They actually come. They send somebody to your office or wherever you are. You know, they present their badge. They sit down with you. They go and interview your friends, and these periodic reinvestigations are thorough. Not to mention the one that you had to go through to get the clearance in the first place. Clearances should not be handed out like candy. They should not come just merely because you were appointed to some position because somebody needs to check a block and make sure they hired the right demographic. Well, we're looking at a guy right now who it recently was brought out that Samuel Brinton is a drag queen, an LGBTQ activist who has lectured on kink at college campuses and participated in interviews about fetish role play. Okay, I just said a lot of things that probably offended a few people, but that's who we're talking about. He is, and when you see the pictures, when you look him up online, you'll know. So here we go. You ready? A high-level hire at the Department of Energy's Office of Nuclear Energy, whose past as a drag queen and defender of underage gay prostitution sites, has stirred controversy and is earning a salary in the top 1% of all government employees, according to documents obtained by the National Pulse. They did a FOIA request, Freedom of Information Act request, and it reveals that Sam Brinton's taxpayer-funded salary is $178,000 a year. It also says that he just recently received his top secret Q clearance, they call it, in the Department of Energy. Don't think for a second the Department of Energy doesn't have national security issues built into it, because it does. And the designation top secret in this particular case is, quote, basically applies to information that, quote, the unauthorized disclosure of which reasonably could be expected to cause exceptionally grave damage to national security. Let me tell you something. One of the things that they look for when you take on these clearances, especially at the TS level, is whether or not you have the ability to be compromised. When foreign agents look for the ability to compromise someone, they look for roles in their life that they can, you know, sort of pluck at. Is this person in financial disarray? Do they have a tendency to hang out in certain types of bars? Do they engage in extramarital affairs? Are they, you know, vulnerable in other? This guy's vulnerable on so many levels. How does he get a TS clearance in the first place? If that's not a compromisable individual, I don't know what is. And yet, go look at his picture, Sam Brinton. He's so proud. He's so proud to be in the position he's in. Because why? It checked a block. Well, who else is on the Biden team? That's what it got me to thinking about. Who else is on the Biden team? Well, I'm going to run down a few of these with you, and they're important. That guy, Sam Brinton, he may not be a cabinet-level position, but he works for the cabinet-level position. Direct under the Secretary of Energy, Jennifer Granholm, who I'll talk about in a moment. But let me tell you about this one. AmericanMilitaryNews.com, dated yesterday. The U.S. Senate confirms Biden's ATF nominee who has never owned a gun. How is that a thing? How is that a thing? On Tuesday, the Senate confirmed Stephen Dettelbach, President Joe Biden's second choice to lead the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, which enforces the nation's gun laws, even after the nominee admitted he's never even owned a gun. Now, gun ownership is not a mandate, obviously, but you would sort of think if a guy is going to be in a position to enforce gun laws, maybe he owns or at least uses firearms occasionally? No. It was a 48-46 vote. You know why it was 48-46? Because some of the usual suspects, Susan Collins, Republican, and Rob Portman, Republican, joined 46 Democrats to approve Dettelbach's nomination. In June, Dettelbach confirmed he had never even owned a gun, had never been issued one in a professional capacity, even though he had served as a career prosecutor. He joined the Department of Justice's Civil Rights Division in 1992. Oh, okay. By the way, that's the activist division of the Department of Justice. And as the director of the ATF, Dettelbach's responsibilities will include enforcing federal gun laws and regulations. And in recent years, the ATF has repeatedly found itself in the position of reviewing the legality of new firearms and firearms parts, things like bump stocks and specialized triggers and pistol braces, stuff like that. Well, the NRA, the Firearms Policy Coalition, and some of the others who support gun rights say this is an absolute disaster to put a guy like this. He's an activist. He's an anti-gun activist, they say, who is now in charge of the ATF. Classic. Just wanted you to know who's on the team. I got more of these. What about Alejandro Mayorkas? What did he do before he took over ICE and CBP as a part of the Homeland Security Secretary? What about Rachel Levine? Oh, my gosh. What about Jennifer Granholm, U.S. Energy Secretary? They go down the list. Ah, I'm telling you. Copper, take me to a break while I catch my breath. We'll come back and talk about who's on Biden's team. You need to know this. When you take it in its totality, when you look at the big picture, and you realize the team he assembled, it goes way beyond the pale. It's not like one or two bad picks. It's like they decided, let's have a losing team and make it as bad as possible. How many activists can you cram in one room? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We got plenty more. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, I got somebody held on the phones there during the break, and I certainly appreciate the patience, so let me just go grab that line five. Chris from Hartsell. Hey, Chris, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm good. I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
One of the things I just wanted to say was about your last segment on Sam Brenton.
Yeah.
You know, I, as soon as I saw that story break, I saw it on LinkedIn, plastered all over LinkedIn, how proud he was of his new position. I'll give the person this. Notice I said the person because I'm not sure I'm supposed to refer to the energy secretary.
Yeah.
But he's an MIT grad. He's probably got a brilliant mind when it comes to nuclear energy, and he's probably a good pick for the position. But let me just say this. For somebody who's had a security clearance in the federal government for 30-plus years, it is my job to raise the question when I see something that is questionable or something that brings bad interest and taste to the federal government based on somebody's practices, beliefs, or you name it. Now, all you got to do is do a Google search, and anybody in their right mind would question this individual's off-duty practices, I guess you could say. So
yeah,
maybe it's the world we live in. It's what we're faced with, and we deal with it. But like you said, that troubles me to no end.
Yeah, it does me too, because the qualifications for a security clearance, they're not just job-related, they're lifestyle-related. You can be a compromised individual based more on your lifestyle than your job resume.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, man. Well, you're spot on, Chris, and appreciate it. And I'm glad somebody else is out there paying attention. This guy, I mean, you're right. He might be a brilliant mind, but it's a troubled mind, and it's ripe for disaster. So we'll see how it goes.
It is. It just opens a can of worms. That's all I'm gonna say.
All right, man. Appreciate the call. Thanks for being in the audience. We appreciate you. All right, listen. Let me move on here. Who else is on Biden's team? Well, we got a whole just a basket of wahoos here. So Boomer's laughing. A basket of wahoos, Boomer. I think I just coined that one. But yeah, let's pick one. I don't know. Who else you got, Phil? Oh, gosh. How about Alejandro Mayorkas? Alejandro Mayorkas, the Secretary of Department of Homeland Security. The Department of Homeland No Security. Well, a story was written about him in January of 2021 when he was pending appointment. And he got appointed. Obviously, he was confirmed by the U.S. Senate. But while the nation might have been keeping an eye on him, you know, it was also kind of just looking aside, like this one kind of snuck in under some radars. But the question became, right after he got confirmed, whether or not he would act with integrity and honor in following his oath to protect and uphold the defense or the Constitution of the United States and only propose, accept, and execute immigration policies that put the interest of American workers first. I read all that from an article I pulled off of NumbersUSA.com. NumbersUSA.com, the headline in January of 2021 was, "Who is Alejandro Mayorkas? Biden's troubling pick to lead DHS." Troubling? Oh yeah, it's troubling. Now let me just go ahead and say, this article was prescient at its time, and it is revelatory in the aftermath. We're looking right now at a guy who literally took the job to not do the job. That's what we're seeing. We're going to wind up going to a break here in just a minute, so I'll probably hold some of this till I get back, but I'm just going to tell you, between that one, between Rachel Levin being so excited to wear the four-star uniform of an admiral every day, between Jennifer Granholm being the U.S. Energy Secretary and laughing when she's asked what she's going to do about gas prices because she's more into renewables and, you know, green energy, when looking at who was picked to be the Department of Education head in Miguel Cardona, what you're seeing here are a series of picks that are nothing but literally activists being put into a room. It is a basket full of wahoos. And man, I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't going well. Because you know what? It matters who you put on your team. We'll come back with more of this when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, covering all of North Alabama, up into Tennessee, over into Georgia, and left side over into Mississippi. Yep. Listen, folks, I'm just going to tell you right now, if you have not checked out Just Love Coffee Cafe, let me just pause here before I go on with the Triple Dipper and just tell you. Just Love Coffee Cafe is one of those stops you've got to make. I mean, it doesn't matter whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or just a good solid snack in the afternoon, or maybe you just need a pick-me-up in midday. I'm just telling you, Just Love Coffee Cafe, two locations, one on Hughes Road in Madison, the other on South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. I've been to both locations. I love both locations, and I'm just going to tell you right now, what a great place to hang out, meet friends, use their Wi-Fi if you want to, but then the food, man, listen, they got wraps, they got sandwiches, they got salads, and they got breakfast you can have for dinner. That's one of my favorites, breakfast for dinner. But you can get a womlet, which is a big, fat omelet that they cook in a waffle iron, believe it or not. But they also have waffles. They have, you know, biscuits. They have, anyway, good food. And the coffee? Oh, yeah, award-winning. Check it out. Just Love Coffee Cafe. Two locations. One on Hughes Road in Madison out towards City Hall. The other one on South Memorial Parkway in Huntsville. All right, listen, I'm moving back to the Triple Dipper, but I'm going to go ahead and take those calls. You want to call in? I'd love to hear from you. 866-494-9866. It's go-home time. Some of y'all listening in the car, just be careful on the roads. But yeah, you want to talk about anything we've talked about today? Call on in. Tell me what your thoughts are. I'd love to hear your thoughts, too, on these activists that are part of the Biden administration. I mean, do they have any experience at all that qualifies them? Maybe. But I'm pretty sure they were also picked because of who they are in terms of a check-the-box on demographics kind of thing. I got a caller on line 3. I'll go ahead and grab it right now. Don from Athens. Hey, Don. Phil Williams, how you doing today?
Hey, Phil. Doing pretty good today. I was just telling Copper, I guess, that was reading an article on Daily Wire that talked directly about their business experience, and the median, it was looking at the top 68 positions. So this is, you know, senior folks. The median years of business experience is literally zero. Now, the average is about 2.4, but, of course, that's still pretty low. But you've got Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, most of the top officials had literally zero business experience. So no wonder the economy's in shambles.
Wow. They've never had to write a paycheck. They've never had to balance the books. They've never had to do anything other than suck down taxpayer dollars and and get the guaranteed government paycheck themselves. That's about it.
Yeah, and you can compare that to the Trump administration. You had Trump with over 45 years, Steve Mnuchin, Treasury guy, who was like 25 years, Betsy DeVos, Education Secretary, 23 years, and there was somebody, I forget, the Commerce Secretary, but he had, you know, 25 or 30 years or so, you know, and of course many others. But yeah, when you've never run anything, of course, now you look at Congress too, you probably know this better than I, and the number of people with military experience. I'm a retired veteran, so, but that's on the decline as well, or was at least maybe until recently, but that was on the decline, and I think that's a problem as well.
I totally agree, man. Hey, Don, thanks for the call. Thanks for your service too, by the way. We appreciate you being a part of the audience.
Thanks for yours. Appreciate it.
All right, bud. Thank you. Wow. Oh, man, see, that's exactly right. I mean, it's so obvious that the criteria for selection to top cabinet-level and government-running positions in the Biden administration is exponentially different than what we saw in the Trump administration. And I look at that and think, who's running the HR department that says, okay, time to find the next person to run before the Senate for confirmation? I mean, look at some of these wahoos. I called them a whole basket of wahoos a while ago. That's what we got. We got some folks up there carrying security clearances that if they had not been appointed to a position, they would not qualify for a security clearance. Well, let's talk about the head of the Department of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas. So Mayorkas himself is an immigrant. That makes it interesting. I understand he could bring a personal perspective. Maybe he does. He's a Cuban immigrant. As an infant, he and his family brought him here. They fled Cuba to Los Angeles as refugees. Okay. Got his degree from UCal Berkeley. Oh, Lord. Why do I keep hearing about UCal Berkeley lately? And a law degree from Loyola. Spent 9 years as a prosecutor. Was the youngest U.S. attorney in the country under President Bill Clinton. Overseeing the prosecution of, you know, white-collar crimes and things like that. Okay. Good on him. Glad. But then things began to go where they are now. So, yeah, in 2009, he moved to Obama's Department of Homeland Security. He was an undersecretary, I believe, and he made his first real impact as the architect of the disastrous DACA program, the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program under Obama. It's the one that gave amnesty to thousands of illegal aliens that were residing in the country through deportation protections, work permit extensions, pathways to citizenship, all the usual things that we refer to as amnesty. He was the architect of that plan. You got to know that when that happens, and it happens, by the way, when Vice President Joe Biden was there, and then President Biden comes in and reaches back for him and brings him in now as the head of DHS. You got to know he knew that he was putting someone in place who was an amnesty guy. He knew that he was putting someone in place who open border activists were literally saying they really believed that he was their best option for expanding the DACA program and getting things, you know, to the point where we could see the floods that we're seeing now. So when Mayorkas says, hey, everything's fine, the border's A-OK, the border is secure. What does secure mean to you, Secretary Mayorkas? And oh, by the way, don't think that when they put together this basket of wahoos, they didn't know exactly who they were getting when they got him. He was also there as the undersecretary of DHS in the Obama administration when they had that first big surge of alien children and families between 2014 and 2015. And it was a real predictable outcome of the DACA program he had helped put together. And then, oh, by the way, he was involved in a scandal. So the EB-5 visa scandal at the Department of Homeland Security, what happened here was he was caught. And it was an IG inspection that determined that he did, in fact, provide undue influence to make sure that visas were being extended to foreigners who invested, you know, large amounts of money in certain U.S. business ventures. Yeah. In other words, nearly 80% of those applications came from China. Oh, really? So we now have the Department of Homeland Security, the secretary of that entire department that oversees Customs and Border Patrol and ICE and the Coast Guard. He is someone who has, in the past, shown a propensity to push for amnesty. he is someone in the past who has coordinated with Chinese authorities to try and expedite visas for people who are investing certain amounts of money in certain companies. That's who's your Department of Homeland Security Secretary in that basket of wahoos. All right, what else have I got here? Rachel Levine. I can hardly even talk about this one. This one's just, I mean, I just look at this one, I think, that's just a troubled individual. You almost feel bad pointing things out because you feel like you're just being mean. But nonetheless, that's who is the Assistant Secretary for Health. And, oh, by the way, is extremely proud of the fact that that he has, you know, been appointed as the first transgender Assistant Secretary for Health. And yay, and gets to wear a uniform, yay, which he wears the dress version of the uniform, yay. But this is who has been on the front lines advocating for what he calls the value and importance of gender-affirming care for minors. A firm believer that we should allow for the alteration of children's bodies because they're going through gender dysphoria. And that's who has been appointed by the Biden administration to be on that team. Who else have we got in this stack? Pray tell, Phil, how many more wahoos can you fit in that basket? Well, let me just tell you. Then there's Jennifer Granholm, U.S. Energy Secretary. Now, you may recall, not so long ago when gas prices were spiking, Jennifer Granholm was asked on a news interview, Secretary Granholm, what are you going to do about gas prices? Is there a plan? And she just laughed. This is a Secretary of Energy who probably hasn't put gas in her own car in God knows how long. Who probably has a driver that just makes sure that he pulls up at the front and she gets in and she gets taken wherever she wants to go. No worries. Well, when she was being tapped for the office back in December of 2020, an organization called Recharge News wrote an article about her. They pointed out that she has long been a strong advocate for renewable energies, that she's an advocate, in her own words, for clean energy. She's a green energy person. She came in as a green energy person. Not only that, she was the professor of energy and public policy at, once again, UCal Berkeley, where she supported the energy transition for the U.S. auto sector. She was also the architect of the controversial 2015 Clean Power Plan that assigned each state an individual goal for reducing their CO2 emissions. And that's who's in charge of the energy sector. Is it any wonder, then, that we're looking at policies being foisted upon the people of this nation that are causing pain at the pump, pain to heat your house in the wintertime, the inability, then, to also see food on the table for some people because the cost of food is going through the roof in large part because of the fact that we have an energy problem causing the gas prices to ship it from farm to market going way up because they hired an activist, someone who laughs when you ask her about gas prices and then takes it real serious when she wants to talk about the green energy sector in the automobile industry, the architect of the Clean Power Plan that has done nothing for us except make things more expensive. All right, tell you what, Copper, I got a little more on this, but let's go ahead and take a break. We'll come back. I might be able to finish this thing up. Because, folks, who's on Biden's team matters. You know why? Because they make the decisions that affect you and I. And they're a bunch of wahoos, most of whom shouldn't even be given a job scooping ice cream at the Baskin-Robbins, much less being given a government security clearance. That's how I feel about it. You're welcome to call in, 866-494-9866. Love to hear your thoughts. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, solid, conservative, and just plain right. By the way, I love it when listeners tag me in different places. A guy that follows me on Twitter, by the way, you can follow me on Twitter, at Sen Phil Williams. That's S-E-N, at Sen Phil Williams. Vision Leader just sent me one. Epoch Times reports this afternoon that we were talking about the Fielding the Force was number one in the Triple Dipper. Epoch Times reports the U.S. military cannot fulfill its national defense strategies because of force cuts. That's a big deal. We'll see how that plays out. I got somebody held on during the break, and I appreciate that. Oh, yeah, it's Brian from Huntsville. Hey, Brian, how you doing today, man?
Hoo-ah.
Hoo-ah to you. I want to mention
Joe Biden's team with him as president. You mentioned something about stunt. That's the one defensive play they know. They play it very well.
They play the stunt. Yeah, they got to. Stunt the linebackers. Do what you can. Oh, my gosh.
Now, all these people that are in office that are green, especially the last one you talked about, have taken away so much. You remember North Texas last winter. Going green, and they couldn't keep up. Same thing in the summer. Some places are having brownouts and that kind of thing because we cannot support them with fossil fuels. And these are the same idiots that wanted us to buy electric cars and plug them into the grid.
Yeah. Yeah. Not only that, too, Brian, part of what galls me, too, is they're determined to make the U.S. military go green, and I have no idea how they're going to sustain the force on a battlefield with, renewable sources of fueling, because what it takes to just get a car charged back up? Can you imagine what it takes to charge up a Humvee or a tank?
I'm waiting to see what they do about air-to-air refueling. Is there going to be a big plane with batteries on it that the other one plugs into?
I hadn't even thought of that. I went Army all the way, and he went Air Force. I get it. All right. Hey, Brian, thanks so much. Listen, folks, it boggles the mind. And I feel like too often on the show I have to say that. It boggles the mind. I mean, how do we see this level of activism within one administration? I get it. You're going to have folks sometimes, and they're going to come in with more of an agenda. They're going to try and push things through, and every once in a while they're going to be told, hey, man, curb it a little bit. Hey, you, tell her to calm down. No. Activism is the order of the day on this team. It matters who's on the team. Speaking of team, let me look at this one. Education Secretary Miguel Cardona. Education Secretary Miguel Cardona, well, you know what? He was a bit of a blank slate. In fact, I'm reading an article from January of 2021 where it literally said that he had a bit of a blank slate. When he came in for his confirmation, you know, there wasn't much to see. But then again, maybe that should concern you too. Secretary of Education, not much experience. He'd been a classroom teacher. He'd been a principal. And he had been an assistant superintendent in a kind of small district in Connecticut. And then he did work for 18 months as the head of Connecticut's education agency. Okay, so he stepped up into a statewide leadership role for a year and a half. But guess what? Here's what caught my eye. The teachers union loved him. And the National Education Association welcomed his appointment. And with open arms, oh, by the way. The Dispatch here points out that he was a relative novice with no national experience and only a short stint as the head of Connecticut's education bureaucracy. But his deputy will be Cindy Martin, the superintendent of San Diego's Unified School District, a longtime educator who has never worked at the state or federal level. What? What the heck? Is this not an important position? Oh, wait a minute. Speaking of teams, look who they surrounded him with. So you get a guy and his assistant, both of whom have limited experience, but they're liberal, and the teachers union loves them. And then the teachers union supplies a senior advisor for policy and planning named Donna Harris Akins, as well as a principal deputy general counsel named Emma Lahaney. Oh, okay, so the teachers union is propping him up with their people. Aha, I say to you. Suzanne Goldberg, also a founding director of Columbia Law School's Sexuality and Gender Law Clinic, was also named to a senior position in the Office of Civil Rights at the Department of Education. Other appointments came from the Elizabeth Warren campaign and for state-based left-wing advocacy organizations. In short, the article says, this is not a staffing chart that looks like centrist. It is not at all. It is like they built a team. They found a hollow shell of a guy, put him in charge, and then built a team around him. And oh, by the way, in January of this year, he was called upon to resign. Because it turned out that Miguel Cardona, whose entire office is staffed by the teachers union, it was found out that, you know, when that controversial letter came from the National School Board Association that compared, you know, protesting parents to domestic terrorists, that it was him working with the National School Board Association and seeking that letter. He solicited that letter from them. And members of Congress have called up him to resign. Well, I end with one of my favorite, Pete Buttigieg. Buttigieg is, you know, very proud of the fact that he and his partner adopted twins. In the midst of the supply chain crisis, the new Department of Transportation Secretary, Pete Buttigieg, went on a two-month paternity leave while the nation reeled with a supply chain crisis that fell under his desk. That's who we've got, folks. That's who's in the basket of wahoos. It matters who's on the team. I'll tell you what, well, I got a great team right here at Right Side Radio, and we will be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Y'all stay tuned. Coming up next, you got the great one, Mark Levin. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, blanketing North Alabama, solid conservative and just plain right. Y'all have a great night.